Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges, this morning, text number 20, which is on the board. Would remain unagitated by their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Anyone who remains unagitated, even in the presence of cause for agitation, is called dhira, or equipoised. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Krishna says, dhirastatra namuhyati. A person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Nrisingadev appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, whereas others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. So I'll read the translation again. This is Lord Shiva praying specifically to Lord Shankarsana. For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness they could proceed no further in their worship of him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So here, Shiva is explaining. Interesting. How the Lord sometimes appears angry to people. He mentioned his feature, Tamralochana. His eyes are reddish. You know, like Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram, you see their eyes are red. They have red. Tamralochana, like copper. It says like someone, so when people are intoxicated, their eyes get a little red too, bloodshot. So the Lord's eyes are like that. So to some people he appears angry and fearful. But Lord Shiva says that's their own projection. He's not angry. He's not fearsome. But the people who have impure vision see him that way because their own minds are agitated. And here's the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Everybody else was agitated by Lord Nrisingadev, but Prahlad Maharaj was perfectly peaceful. But they were all agitated. So he shows how the Lord is actually never becomes agitated even in the presence of agitating circumstances. That's one of his characteristics. So this is called dhira, and is mentioned here that the wives of the serpent king were touching his feet and he was unagitated by their touch. So that's his characteristic, Dhira. This is defined, D-H-I-R-A, Dhira. This is defined, anyone who remains unagitated even in the presence of cause for agitation is called Dhira. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. So it's the this is the character. Why is he never agitated by anything? Because he's in a transcendental position. That means not affected by the three modes of material nature. That's the transcendental position. Actually, we're not affected anyway. No spirit soul is actually affected by the three modes of material nature. But due to our illusory misidentification of ourselves with the material body, and because of our putting an interest in the material world, then we become agitated. We have, because the modes of material nature is always roiling around. This is happening, that is happening, things are coming into being, things are going out of being. It's just one change after another. People are being born, people are growing old, people are dying, people are loving, people are hating. People are favorable, people are unfavorable. People are singing your praises, people are damning you to hell, you know. This is always going on. All the time, just ceaselessly, just never stops. You read today's paper, you read yesterday's paper, and you read the paper 10 years. Sometimes they run these features 10 years ago today, 100 years ago today. You go back and read all the newspapers as far back as you can go. You read history. It's the same stuff. It doesn't stop. Someone's up, someone's down, someone's in, someone's out. Someone has good fortune, someone has bad fortune. Someone's coming up, someone's going down. It's always going on. Material nature is working. And the spirit soul are a different kind of thing. Kutashta. Kutashta means they're unchanging and steady. They're not affected by all this. Actually, as a spirit soul, if I become president of the United States, well, that does a spirit soul become president of the United States? Is there one spirit soul that's the president of the United States as a spirit soul, and is there another spirit soul that's a prisoner in the jail? No, none of these ranks, they don't apply to the soul. But one spirit soul is thinking, I am the president of the United States. And another spirit soul is thinking, I have 40 years to life, serving my time. But these are illusions, right? Actually, kutashta, none of this is happening to them. They're witnessing. Actually, their position is they're just detached. Here's the soul over here, and here's matter going this way, that way, you know. And really, then, you know, never. There's a separation, because one thing is spirit and the other thing is matter. And so the matter is sitting there, you're making all these noises and going up and down and creating all these illusions. But the spirit soul, because he's become bewildered, muhyanti, they're bewildered, he's all absorbed in this and saying, this is me, now I'm the president of the United States. You know? And he puts an interest, takes an interest in this. I have some interest in the outcome of this particular little phase of this operation that's going on. And therefore, becomes disturbed all the time. Because it's this whole show is now, it becomes implicated, falsely implicated. This is described as vivarta, illusory superimposition. To mistake one thing for another, so they mistake what's happening with the modes of material nature with matter as something that's happening to the self. And so therefore always in anxiety and ultimately always in misery. Because actually all the stories in the same, they all ended with death. And all achievement passes away. The person that we invest in this makeshift show of illusory material energy, and ultimately the whole thing gets taken apart for us. And there's the time of death. It comes. And then there's one is so upset. One realizes I've spent my life on all these things and now it's all over. And I've really got nothing to show for it. If I've earned so much money, now other people are going to get it. People I probably don't care for too much at this point. But they're going to get it. And I figure I've worked so hard for my sons. They're all rascals. They're just sitting around waiting for me to die. They're saying, here is such an old man, 85 years old, you know. He's got all this money. We're getting older. We're not getting any younger, but we don't get this money until he dies. So here are your loved ones thinking in their hearts, would he just die and get it over with? So you don't feel so generous that I owe this money I've earned, I'm giving to these rascals, you know. And actually the government will take most of it anyway. So people feel that whatever they've done, it's all a disappointment in the end. So maybe there's some mental satisfaction. You know, I was president of the United States. I was this. I was that. Some little illusory thing. But what have you got to show for it? And then you change bodies. So you don't. Your dossier. What do you call resume? In America, it's your resume. What do they call in India? Biodata. In academics, they call them curriculum vitae. You know, your list of all your achievements. It doesn't go with you. You know, you have to start over again at zero or less than zero. So this is very bewildering to those people who are caught up in this show. So one who is not bewildered by this is called Dhira. So these things that are a cause for agitation, birth and death, changing bodies. That's what Krishna has said here in this Bhagavad Gita. He's defined what is Dhira in this Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Just as the in this life, the embodied soul passes from boyhood to youth to old age. Dehina, the embodied soul. Dehino sminyata dehe. It goes from boyhood, youth, Kumara, the state of being a youth. Or child, yovanam, state of being teenager, jara, state of being old, childhood, youth, old age. just as Krishna is explaining this way, the soul passes from one of these states. There's one state, you know, a little childhood state, then an adolescent state, then an old age state. Three states of the material energy, the material body, sliding right on past us. So the soul changes from this state to another. Tata dehantara praptiya. So the same way, at the end of life, he takes another body. He changing states like this. So take another body. So to those who are attached, this is a terrible thing. Like, we usually become attached yovanam. That's the best way. We'd always like to be, you know, 18 years old. So this transition from yovanam to jara is singularly unpleasant. The only thing is, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a little easy to take. But for people that have become attached to being young, I just saw somewhere, I was looking in a magazine, I saw some ads. They had a picture of a woman. Actually, it was an ad for a magazine for elderly people. I forgot what it was called. In this ad, it showed a picture of a woman, maybe 60 years old, you know. And then a picture of the same woman, you know, when she was 20, you know. And it says, she looks like this. Shows a 65-year-old woman or whatever. She feels like this, you know, with like this, you know, Hollywood Veronica Lake hair coming down and dangling earrings and, you know, vamping it, you know, like very sexy. It says, she looks like this. She feels very sad. You always think of yourself as about, you know, 20 years old, I think, even though. But the biggest attachment we form is to this body and its relationships, to the relatives, the wife, children, the friends. So much, you know, hanging on. This is me, this is my life, this is my identity, this is my status, this is my worth. People do this, you know, like they have a job and they get paid so much. And it's the only part of that is having so much for sense gratification. The other part is that I'm getting paid what I'm worth. You know, people think they're worth something. They value themselves. Their self-respect comes from how much they can get on the marketplace. So if people like lose their job or get a reduction in income, it's not just that they have less money for sense gratification, it's also, you know, their being has decreased. You know, what they're worth has gone down. Because they measure their worth or their own value to themselves in terms of whatever their, you know, body is going for in the marketplace, whatever they can sell their time for. They're just commodities being bought and sold. That's capitalism. Labor is another commodity. That's how that's how you work. If you're manufacturing some good, you buy somebody's labor. You buy their time. And you pay them what they're worth to you. So people measure their worth. Of course, it's not based on what you're worth. It's based on other market values because, you know, you've got to keep one cost down, the other cost up. So there are different social changes, and all of a sudden, you're not valuable anymore. Just talk to people who've worked all their life at some particular job, and now there's some new machine that replaces them. It's not just that they don't have money, or that they're not worth anything anymore. To themselves, maybe to their wives, maybe to their children, you know. And they've fallen to a very state of grief. They hit the bottle. Slow suicide. So all these things happen because we identify this whole business, material nature. And so finally, when all of this self-definition in terms of the material energy that we're so into, you know, being proud of being this, being proud of being that, the whole system gets wiped out at the time of death. People are very distressed. But here Krishna says, dhiras tatra namuhyati. One who is a dhira, here he translates it as sober. In the verse today, equipoised. He's not agitated. Even at the time when the body passes away, a person who is dhira, he's not bewildered. He doesn't get agitated by it, and he's not bewildered. In other words, it doesn't mean anything to him. He's indifferent. How can you be indifferent at all these things? Because you have no invested interest in this make-show. You've withdrawn the false ego. Because in these things, you know, my worth in the marketplace, the esteem with which I'm being held by this group of people or that group of people, my self-esteem based on my bodily identification, my job, my social status, my professional achievement, all these things, all this esteem, all this my sense of my self-worth, it's all called false ego. Because the big shatterer is there at the time of death. It's not ourselves. It's just this material nature, you know, working, going up and down. We can't control it at all. We're the victim of forces beyond our control. That's a fact. That's what happens to people all the time in the material. They can't understand it. They did everything right. They never did anything wrong. They're law-abiding citizens. They put all their money in the bank, and then, you know, some stock market crash, it's all wiped out. What did I do to deserve this? I'm so disillusioned, you know. I thought if I'd behave well and went to work in time and that nothing bad was going to happen to me. But these things come, you know. We're the victim of forces beyond our control. Well, we're not really. We've made ourselves the victims of forces beyond our control because we've identified ourselves with all these three modes of material nature going through their changes all the time. So, Krishna is recommending we come to this dhira platform and just, you know, pull back our investments in this false identification, self and material body. Because there's no future in it. There's no future. Bad prospects. Very, very bad prospects. The worst prospects. Because the worst is going to happen. It's going to keep happening again and again and again. So this is here. This word is used, dhira. Dhiras tatra namuyati, second chapter, 13th verse, Bhagavad Gita. So it defines liberated soul. One who is liberated. And here Prabhupada says, there's no cause. If one is dhira, then in this business of whatever happens based on the material body, actually there's no cause for lamentation or for jubilation. One should be able to cast a cold eye on the whole thing. Because of knowledge. Here he says, any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the super soul, and nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or a most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. So one can see that Material nature is acting, but it has no relevance. It's irrelevant to me, to my interests, and to my position. So being dhīra, being undisturbed in this case, doesn't mean being just a stoic. Stoicism is the idea that I just grit my teeth and endure it. That it's going to be hellish, that there's all these ups and downs, that there's happiness and distress, and they mean nothing because it just goes on and on and on. A stoic is a person who sees the hopelessness of the material situation and just decides to try to be noble and aloof, just out of strength of will and nobility of mind. Do you see this position? There's a work by the Roman emperor Marcus Aurelius, his Meditations, where he discusses like this. He's the emperor and he sees that the whole business is meaningless. And you just endure it. And you just, you know, out of nobility of character. And the typical thing is to be able to actually finally commit suicide without any qualms. But this stoicism is not based on knowledge. It's just based on, you know, just trying to, as I say, grit your teeth and bear it. There's no happiness in that position, really. It's more or less trying to cultivate apathy. Doesn't come to the transcendental state. The transcendental situation is to actually become free from this whole show, to withdraw all vested interest in it, because interest is invested somewhere else. And Prabhupada says here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhīra must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So you see, this is his characteristic. He's transcendental, therefore he's never agitated by anyone. So we take shelter at his feet, then we absorb the same quality. Because that's a position of safety. It's not just that we have to draw into some kind of spiritual isolation, like the atheistic Sankhya teaches. But rather, we understand that there's, as Prabhupada says here, you have to know soul, super soul, and nature. So there's the material nature, which is endlessly mutable and going through changes. There's the soul, which does not change, for which there's no coming into being, going out of being, which is immutable, unaffected. And then there's the controller of both, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, who's the source and controller of both of these energies. So we actually take shelter of the Super Soul and invest our time and energy into cultivating that relationship, then all this other business ceases to act with reference to us. Material nature and its changes loses its relevance. These activities of Krishna consciousness are eternal activities, and the relationships that we form in Krishna consciousness are eternal relationships. All of it's beyond the ability of material nature to affect. So if we've invested our energy into forming our relationship with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and we put our activities and energy into Krishna's service, then actually nothing we do will be affected by the combinations and permutations of the three modes of material nature. then we can actually be indifferent. It's simply not relevant to our situation. Birth and death, old age and disease, these things are not relevant. They don't affect Krishna consciousness. They don't affect devotional service. So we have to come to this position, this dhira position, and gradually withdraw all our attachments and investments that are simply based on material nature. We do that by replacing them with our investments and attachments based on spiritual nature, on Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's servants, Krishna's activities, Krishna's Rathyatra, Krishna's book distribution, Krishna's prasadam. There's so much there. And that's where our interest needs to be. Then we become completely indifferent to everybody else. And then we're happy, actually. There's nothing to worry about anymore. All right? Questions? Comments? Dhira, yes. Right. Well, then sannyas. Prabhupada explains it in Srimad Bhagavatam. That here dhira is also explained by Vidura to Dhritarashtra. He says he is called undisturbed dhira. Dhritarashtra is about, he's on his, you know, last leg there. His half-brother Vidura has come and explained to him what his situation is. He's growing old, his teeth are falling out, he's about to die, and he's all attached to his home life. He says, he is called Dhira, who goes to an unknown remote place and is freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. Dhira means one who is not disturbed, even when there is sufficient provocation. One cannot give up a comfortable family life due to his affectionate relationship with wife and children. Self-realization is obstructed by such undue affection for family. And if anyone is at all able to forget such a relationship, he is called undisturbed or Dhira. So he says that actually this is just giving this up out of frustration. That kind of renunciation is not good. But actually, if we do it by association with devotees and saintly persons, then we become fixed in this kind of renunciation. So, well, here the way Prabhupada explains it is that he says, Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura at least to become a dhira in the beginning if it were impossible for him to become a sannyasi, a narottama, or narottama, that is completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, narottama. Dhira? He said, well, listen to what he says. Persistently endeavoring on the line of self-realization helps a person to rise to the conditions of a narottama from the stage of dhira. The dhira stage is attained after prolonged practice of the yoga system. But by the grace of Vidura, one can attain the stage immediately simply by willing to adopt the means of the dhira stage which is the preparatory stage for sannyas. The sannyas stage is the preparatory stage of Paramahamsa, or the first grade devotee of the Lord. That's what he says there. Anyway, we better get started. Dhira is the preparatory stage of sannyas. Sannyas means not the giving up of works, but the renunciation of the fruits of works. And not necessarily, Krishna says, sannyas means one who works as he is obligated, but does so without being attached. That is a sannyas. But it actually means to become renounced from all these things. Like he says, he is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity or misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing in his heart. That's the highest stage. Depends fully upon the personality of Godhead. Anyway, that's the way Prabhupada explains it. Okay? This should be our goal, this position of becoming, with a certain knowledge, by becoming attached to Krishna, this dhira stage. Here Prabhupada talks about the dhira stage as just giving up out of frustration and withdrawing to a kind of neutral platform and then going on from there. But actually, if we, by this Krishna consciousness movement, if we take advantage of the positive things by more business is to become attached to Krishna, and then automatically we can lose our attachment to material things. You have to become attached to something. So attachment to Krishna means detachment to matter. That's a whole lot easier than just trying to become detached from matter without becoming attached to Krishna. That's rough. That's right. Giving up, that's troublesome. Yeah, that's right. That's why it's considered the lower stage. But actually, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya gives us a way to, right away take advantage of the depending upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we can automatically. So that happens when the more attachment to Krishna increases, the less attachment to matter is there. It just works that way. So we can work on both ends simultaneously. Attachment to Krishna, detachment to matter. Okay, stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.